الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا نحن نزلنا الذكر وإنا له لحافظون صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين My most respected elders and brothers, first and foremost, we make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with this gift of iman, for making us the reciters of the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected elders and brothers, this wealth of iman that we got is very, very valuable. It is priceless. A person, he can have everything in this world. He got the best of everything. He got the best of comforts, the best of houses, the best of women, the best of cars, the best of clothing, the best of beds, the best of everything. But this person got no iman, this is not a successful person. Another person, he don't have much of this world. He barely got any clothes, no shoes, no bed to sleep on, no income, no salary, nothing of this world. But this person got iman. My dear respected elders and brothers, this person is successful. Respected brothers, why? Because the success or the failure of this world will last for 70, 80, 100 years maximum. But the hereafter, the akhirah, is forever and ever and ever, will never come to an end. So a person enjoyed in this world for 100 years, 150 years, but forever and ever that person will be in pain, he'll be in the fire, he'll be burning because no iman. The other person, he suffered 70, 80, 100 years, but then forever and ever, this person will be in comfort. This person will be in bliss. This person will be in Jannah. My most respected elders and brothers, we look into the lives of the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam. We find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave each and every Nabi mu'jizat, miracles, to prove to his nation that he is the true Nabi of Allah. What he is calling towards is the message of Allah. What he is inviting towards is Haqq. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them these mu'jizat, these miracles. And if we see, if we look closely, we will find that the miracles that the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam were given was in accordance to the need of that time. What was commonly found, what was being practiced at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Anbiya miracles accordingly. We see, for example, in the time of Musa alayhi salam, people were practicing magic. Magic was extremely common. Every person was trying to learn a new trick. If you were excelled in magic, you were looked up to, you were respected, People felt that the solution to all their problems was in magic. So when Fir'aun challenged Musa alayhi salam, we know it's a lengthy incident, then he challenged him on the basis of magic. Fir'aun didn't go call the ministers, or he didn't go call the kings, or the wealthy people, or the eloquent people. He went and he called the magicians. And he challenged Musa alayhi salam. We know the magicians, they threw their sticks down. They bluffed the people. They did some trickery. Those sticks turned into small, small snakes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Musa alayhi salam that mu'jiza, that miracle. He gave him that staff that would turn into a serpent. And we know that serpent, it devoured the small, small snakes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him this mu'jiza to show the people that what Musa alayhi salam is calling towards and what he is doing is not the actions of an ordinary person. It's not the actions of a human being. He's calling towards something greater. He's calling towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore we see the magicians, immediately when they saw what Musa alayhi salatu wasalam did, immediately they all fell into sujood. They all prostrated, they all accepted Islam. They were ready to give their lives because they knew what Musa alayhi salam is calling towards is haq. Coming the time of Isa alayhi salam, we see people were engrossed in medicine. It was very, very common to find cures for different sicknesses, different diseases. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Isa alayhi salam among many mu'jizat, he gave him one that where he will pass his hand over the face of a person who was born blind, he will pass it over his face, immediately that person will be able to see again. Or another miracle Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him was that if a person was a leper, he suffered from leprosy, a certain type of skin disease, as soon as Isa alayhi salam will pass his hand over that person, immediately that person will get cured. To show the people of that time that what Isa alayhi salam is doing is not the actions of a man. It's not something that you can learn. Just by mere passing his hand, the people are getting shifa, to show them that this is from the side of Allah. This is a mu'jiza. This is a miracle. And we see that the miracle was in accordance with the need of that time. What was believed in, what was looked up to. Come the time of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to the people of this world in the darkest of times, when ignorance flourished so much like never before. So people in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people of Makkah, the Quraysh, the Arabs, what they were practicing, what they regarded to be very, very important in their lives was poetry. A person would break his head day and night to try and compose poetry that was not heard of before. They would challenge one another, they would compete with one another that who can compose better poetry. They gave so much azmat, so much respect, and they held it in such a high status that they would write it down on a piece of paper. The best poem, the best poetry will be written down on a piece of paper and hung on the Kaaba, on the Baytullah. So much respect they gave to this poetry. So we see when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him the mu'jiza and the miracle of the Quran. So eloquent, such a mu'jiza that no poetry can compare. No poetry can come in front of the mu'jiza of the Quran, the eloquence of the Quran, the sound, the way the words are preserved in the Quran. No poetry can stand in front of that. And we see when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would read the Quran, na'udhu billah, the kuffar, they made the allegation that no man, this Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making it up. He fabricates this. He makes it up. Despite knowing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was unlettered, he couldn't write, he couldn't read, they made these allegations against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he made this Quran up, he fabricated it. This is from his side. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he challenged the kuffar in the Quran. And he says that, O kuffar, you are saying Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made this Quran up, he fabricated it. then you all are so good in poetry, why don't you all bring a Quran that is a likeness of this Quran? Bring one book that is like the Quran in eloquence and the way the Quran is written. Bring one book like that. The kuffar, they tried and they failed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay, you all can't bring the Quran. He mentions in an ayah, أَمْ يَقُولُونَ افْتَرَاهُ قُلْ فَأْتُوا بِعَشْرِ سُوَرٍ مِثْلِهِ وَدْعُوا مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. You can't bring the Quran, okay? Bring 10 surahs that are like the Quran. Bring 10 chapters that are exactly like the Quran in your own words, in poetry. Bring 10 chapters. Only 10. 10 surahs. The kuffar, they tried and they failed again. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمْ يَقُولُونَ افْتَرَاهُ قُلْ فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِثْلِهِ وَادْعُوا مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. O kuffar, you all are saying Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fabricated this Quran, a'udhu billah. Bring one ayah, bring one verse that is like the Quran. Only one verse. Leave 10 verses, leave 10 surahs. One verse, one surah that is like the Quran, 3 verses. Inna a'atainaka al-kuthar, fasalli li rabbika wanhar. In one surah that is like this in eloquence and in meaning, that got meaning, that makes sense. Kufar, Quraysh, they tried and again they failed miserably. Mufassirin got mentioned in the kitab, certain surahs they tried to come up, they tried to make up. Qurtubi mentions in his tafsir, he mentions one surah, they try to make up, example, Al-Fil, Mal-Fil, Wama Adaraka Mal-Fil, Lahu Khurtumun Tawil, Wa Zanabun Wabil. Nonsense, things that it don't make sense. The translation is, the elephant, what knowledge you got regarding the elephant? It has a long trunk and a short tail. Everything, a small child knows that about an elephant. And this was the, after getting so much time, this was the surah they came up with. So my dear respected elders and brothers, we see this Quran, we got, is a mu'jiza of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And a sign of it being a mu'jiza also, and part of it is that, not only is it this mu'jiza, but it is mahfuz. It is mahfuz, it is protected. We look at the previous scriptures, the Torah, the Zabur, the Old Testament, the New Testament, all have been changed. Not one of those kitabs, not one of those books are in its original form, like how it was revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the respective anbiya. All are fabricated, all are changed. But the Quran is still in its original form. That same harf, that same alif, that same lam, that same fatha, dhamma, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sahaba radiallahu anhum were reading, today me and you, we are reading the same Quran. That same harf we are reading. No change. No alteration. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, he took it upon himself. He took it, he made the preservation of the Quran his responsibility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun. That we have revealed the Quran. We have revealed the Quran and it is our responsibility to protect the Quran. My dear respected elders and brothers, if we bring this Quran into our lives, if we bring it into our daily lives, we read this Quran, what effects it will have on us? We see Umar radiallahu anhu, lengthy incident, he comes to kill and assassinate, na'udhu billah, comes to kill Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Long story short, he comes to his sister's house, they're learning the Quran. Eventually he picks up the page of the Quran, they tell him, you are impure, you can't touch the Quran, go have a bath, purify yourself. He does that, he picks up the Quran, he reads, طَهَا مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى. Surah طَهَا, he comes to the verse, إِنَّنِي أَنَا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَعْبُدْنِي وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. Verily I am Allah, there is none worthy of worship besides me, so worship me. Immediately Umar radiallahu anhu's heart is changed. That is the effect of the Quran. Imagine such an evil intention, Umar radiallahu anhu came out with to assassinate and kill Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He reads the Quran. This is the effect that the Quran has on a person who they say they were said regarding Umar radiallahu anhu that the donkey of Khattab will change. The donkey of Khattab will come right, but Umar, the son of Khattab, will never ever come right. And this is the effect that the Quran had on his heart. How many incidents in the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sahaba radiallahu anhum, before they accepted Islam, they were warned, don't listen to this man. Na'udhu billah, he's a mad person. Somehow they heard the Quran, immediately they changed, they accepted Islam. What effect? A person will say, no, but that's the time of, that's the khairul qurun, that's the best time, that's why it had that effect. There's one incident mentioned that once the prime minister or the president of Egypt, he went for a conference, different leaders of the world, the leaders of Russia, America, different countries, whatever it was. So, after the conference, they told him that, what gift have you brought to us from Egypt? So he said, I never bring anything. So they told him, bring something that is found in Egypt that, we don't know of. Bring some souvenir, bring some gift. So the next time they held a conference, this prime minister, he brings Qari Abdul Basit, rahmatullah alayhi, the famous Qari of Egypt, everyone knows about him. He brought him. So after the conference was done, they asked him, where's the gift? He said, yeah, there's a gift. He brought this man, he's going to read something. From here, Qari Abdul Basit himself, in a racist incident, he says that the prime minister of Egypt told me to read in front of these kuffar, these leaders of the different countries of the world. He says, I closed my eyes and I began to read. Qari Abdul Basit, rahmatullah alayhi, says that when he finished reading Sadaqallahu al-Azim, he looked up, he opened his eyes, and he see all the kuffar, their eyes are filled with tears, they are crying. So the minister of Egypt asked him, why are you all crying? They're saying, we don't know why we cry. They had no answer. This is the effect of the Quran, my dear respected elders and brothers. Imagine we got iman in our hearts. Imagine we bring this Quran into our lives. Imagine what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what barakat, what blessings, what He will do for us. Today the whole ummah is in parishani, everyone is in trouble. We're looking for solutions to our problems. My dear respected elders and brothers, the Quran is a solution to our problem. Our Ustad Hazrat Mufti Ibrahim Salehji Sardamat Barakatum, he mentioned that those days, after Fajr Salah, when you're coming from the masjid, you're walking back home, then when you're passing the Muslim houses, you can hear the buzz of the Quran coming out from the houses of the Muslims. You can hear people are reading Quran. You can hear people are reading Surah Yasin. You can hear like a buzz. You see, that is why those days people had barakat. People had barakat those days. They maybe never have too much. Those people in those days, 50, 60 years ago, they maybe never have too many rands or too many dollars or too much gold. But they had this barakat. Whatever little they were earning was alhamdulillah. Mashallah, you see a person's house, he'll invite or someone will come unexpectedly those days to come to your house. You'll be able to feed him, his family, feed your family also, and still giving some in a Tupperware to take home and go eat for supper. Barakat. Unexpected. Today, someone must come to our house unexpectedly. Our own relatives are getting angry. Hey, why you never phone and tell me I would have made something? And even when we make that thing also, those people eat, there's nothing left for our family members. That barakat is not there. So my dear respected elders and brothers, we bring this Quran into our lives. The barakat, that khair, that was found in the previous generations, in a previous turn, the same barakat will be found in our lives. My dear respected elders and brothers, today, everyone is looking for solutions to the problem. Everyone got problems. No one can say, no, he's sitting, he's free, he's at ease. Everyone got some problem, whatever, a big problem, a small problem, but everyone got some problem. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned in a hadith, Man qara'a surat al-waqi'ati fi sadri nahar, qudiyat hawa'ijuhu. Everyone got needs. A person's need, for example, today, he's going for his license. He needs to pass his license, or he's writing some exam, he needs to pass his exam, or there's a job promotion that is in his company, he wants that promotion, or he's looking for a job, or some need. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned in a hadith, a person, he reads Surah Yasin in the beginning of the day. Every day he reads Surah Yasin, the needs for that day are already fulfilled. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used the past tense. He said, The needs for that day are already fulfilled. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't say the needs for that day will be fulfilled. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said the needs for that day are already fulfilled. Another hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he mentions, "Man qara'a surat al-waqi'ati fi kulli laylatin lam tusibhu faqatun abada." A person, he reads Surah Waqia every night, then the needs, or rather, poverty will never knock on this person's door. There's no need for him to worry, he's going to become poor. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was passing away. A great sahabi of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the people asked him, "Oh Abdullah, you're dying, you're leaving behind 7 daughters. What did you leave for them?" In a very calm manner, with a lot of content in his heart, no sign of worry in his face, he says, "I left for them Surah Waqia." Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Whoever learns Surah Waqia, whoever recites Surah Waqia, will never ever become poor." Today people are worried about sickness, different sicknesses. A person is sick, his child is sick, how worried he becomes. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions, "Fi fatihatil kitabi shifa'un min kulli da." In the Fatiha, in the opening surah of the Quran, is shifa, is cure for every type of sickness. Whatever the sickness may be, is found in Surah Fatiha. But we need to have yaqeen, we need to have conviction that what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said is true. What Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned in the hadith is true. When we have yaqeen and we read these surahs, then we'll see the barakat. Then we'll see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing into our lives. My dear respected elders and brothers, unfortunately today, what is the condition of our houses? If we go in each person's house, a person is saying, "No, we don't have time for Quran." Obviously, if we have to make the time for Quran. Like a person, imagine if a person says, "There's no time to eat. I don't eat," or "There's no time to sleep. Whole day, 24/7 is work." No, we make that time. Whether it may be on the way to work, or whether we're sitting somewhere, we'll make a plan to eat or to sleep. So like this, that Quran, we need to make that time. We need to take out the time. Otherwise, if we look for the time in our schedule, it's too busy. We won't find that time. Make it a point before leaving our houses. We should try and read the Surah Yasin, or in a nice read Surah Waqia, Surah Tabarak. These things will be a means of barakat in our houses. What problems we are facing today in our houses? A person, his son is becoming disrespectful. His son don't want to listen to him. He lost hope in his son. Or a person's wife is becoming stubborn, not listening. Person is having problems in his house. Why? Look at our lives. We're leaving the house watching the news on the TV, na'udhu billah. The big screen is on, or our small screen, the small shaitan in our pocket, that phone. We're looking at the news, we're looking what happened in this kafir country, what happened in that kafir country, what's happening here, what's happening there. As soon as we come back home, same, remote, TV on, what's happening in the sports, what's happening here. So how is the barakah going to enter our houses? My dear respected elders and brothers, besides learning the Quran for ourselves, our small masoom children, imagine if we don't teach them the Quran, what injustice are we doing to our children? They don't know. They're like sheep. Whichever direction we put them, they're going to go in that direction. If we put them in the direction of the phone, mashallah, you turn 10, there's the latest phone for you. They'll go in that direction. They'll go in the direction of the kuffar. We're not saying it's haram. But think, what's the priority for this child? Are we sending him to the maktab to go learn that alif, ba, ta, tha, or we feel no? The sporting event that you got in school today, that cricket event that you have to go, the swimming classes is more important than maktab, na'udhu billah. We don't teach our children Quran. Tomorrow when we pass away, our children will call other people to read on us. They won't be able to read Quran. They won't be able to read Surah Yasin. They'll have the money. They'll have the money to pay, or they'll have the money to bring people. But imagine our own children can't read on us. They don't know what is janazah salah. Therefore, my dear respected elders and brothers, very, very important. Read this Quran. Bring this Quran into our lives. Slowly, slowly, slowly. Not saying now go home, open a Quran, write the whole Quran one time. Slowly, slowly, slowly. If we try 3 lines today, 1 line today. In our worldly life, we're always looking for progress. This year we made 100,000 turnover in the year. Next year we want 150, otherwise it's a loss. So, We learned today, example, we went over one ayah. Nothing is too less. Nothing is less. One ayah today, tomorrow two, the next day three. Eventually we'll see we're reading siparas, paras upon paras we're reading. But it starts a small step. We need to take that step, my dear respected elders and brothers, in the direction of the Quran. Some people, they got a misunderstanding. They say, no, we don't understand Quran. What's the benefit in reading the Quran? Example, I tell you, take one book here, read in Chinese. Right, let's read a book. No benefit, you don't understand. Huh? The Quran, however, is not like that, my dear respected elders and brothers. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned a hadith. A person, he reads the Quran, one harf of the Quran, alif. Alif he reads. Whether he understands, he don't understand. Automatically, 10 thawab is getting just for one harf. 10 rewards for one harf, minimum. Imagine a person reads Surah Fatiha. How many huruf? Hundreds of huruf. 100 letters is getting how much thawab? 1,000 minimum. So my dear respected elders and brothers, we should try and bring this Quran into our lives. Make the mahal, make the environment in our house. The Quran must be recited. The Quran must be recited by us, by our children. And obviously more important than just reading the Quran is to practice the Quran. Bring the Quran into our lives, our daily lives. We live, try and live the Quran. Try and bring our akhlaq according to the Quran. Try and bring the sunnah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me first the tawfiq to make amal and practice on what was said. And give all of us the amal and tawfiq to make amal on what was said. SubhanAllah.